The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me.' The 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us.' He said to them, 'I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.' This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Please be seated. In my life, I've had the benefit of interacting with pastors and other people who truly took to heart that God's love is unconditional, and that Christ's sacrifice was a sacrifice for all. I benefited from having pastors and seminary professors who passed along the knowledge that we all fall short of the glory of God, but even so, God treasures each and every one of us for who we are. All that is asked of us is to love our God with our whole being and to love our neighbors. Yet when we look out and think about what we see in this world, is that the message that the loudest and most prominent American Christians are sharing? Are we hearing messages of unconditional love? Sadly, it's not the message I hear at times. But this is not new to Christianity. We know that Paul was struggling with similar questions and similar situations in his own time. In his letter to the Galatians, he is trying to get across that following certain rules, like being circumcised, is not what makes someone a follower of Christ or a child of God. And the flip side is that not being circumcised does not exclude someone either. Paul is calling out the hypocrisy of those who insist that inclusion requires following certain conventions. Because those who insist on qualifiers for inclusion in the body of Christ are glorifying themselves, not God. That is what Paul says. And frankly, we're seeing this run amok right now. In the last couple of weeks, multiple rulings from the Supreme Court have been encouraged and indirectly purchased by American conservative evangelicals. abortion protection being just one of them. I don't doubt that some are sincere in believing that abortion is always absolutely wrong. But imposing restrictions to access access to Christ based on their understanding of what it means to be Christian is no different than imposing circumcision and dietary laws. Even more, what so many fail to grasp is that not protecting abortion as women's health care only disadvantages those who already have no voice and no standing. The reality is this: women or their partners who have resources will always find a way to get the procedure, legal or not. It is those living in poverty, those who are already the most vulnerable, it is those who will suffer. And I'm going to go a step further in recognizing that for so many with a pro-life agenda, not all, but many, that agenda does not extend past the actual act of birth, or even to helping the pregnant woman before, during, or after giving birth. Think of what could be accomplished if as much energy, passion, and resources that have gone into supporting anti-abortion messages and political candidates, what if that all of the resources went into finding solutions for poverty? Think what could be accomplished if those resources and that strategizing had gone into better organization of and funding for our education and our healthcare systems. But it's much easier to ban abortion than it is to tackle the systemic injustice that plagued this country and create a burden on so many. As we heard this morning, again from Paul, bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. It should go without saying that bearing another's burdens is the opposite of making life more difficult. Bearing another's burdens means being willing to listen and find out what can be done to help, and then help. And as I talk about bearing burdens, you might be thinking to yourself, but wait, Vicar Lisa, a few verses later, in that same chapter, Paul says, we must carry our own loads. A burden is one thing, a load is another. And in case you're also wondering, Paul did use two different words in that letter for what has been translated as burden and load. We are responsible for ourselves, and life is full of different loads that we must carry, but burdens are those things that are too much for one person to handle. Being three times more likely to die during childbirth because of the color of your skin, that's a burden. Not having access to properly treated water based on your zip code because a city is trying to cut costs, so it starts using contaminated river as its water source, that's a burden. Growing up so far below the poverty line that you can't imagine anything better than being part of a gang or selling drugs, that's a burden. Bearing one another's burdens is twofold: giving immediate aid where it's needed, but also working toward fixing those symptoms that create the burdens that are too heavy. One hallmark of Jesus' teaching is that we should be speaking truth to power for those who cannot speak for themselves. Paul also talks of the new creation. And it's about more than sharing burdens. It's about recognizing that all receive the Holy Spirit, regardless of where they come from. And in this new creation, we also share our hopes and our dreams for a better world, one that looks more like the kingdom of God and less like the kingdom of humans. It is about making more room at our tables and in our lives and in our churches for not only those who are like us, those who we are comfortable with, but also those who might be very different from us. And of course, Paul's words are completely based on the life and ministry of Jesus. When we use our imaginations, we can see that as Jesus moved through his ministry, he was almost like the Pied Piper, gathering more and more followers as he traveled and taught, as he healed the sick and shared meals. In Luke 10, Jesus is sending a group of these followers out, telling them to share God's peace, appreciate the hospitality that is shown to them, and give back to their hosts by healing and proclaiming that the kingdom of God has come near. One commentator noted that the Gospel of Luke is one where Jesus and his followers eat and drink a lot. The point being that sharing the love of God is ultimately about hospitality, making room at our tables and in our lives for others. When I think back to some of my most treasured memories, they involve conversations over meals or sharing stories and experiences over coffee. Every week during the semester, another professor and I have a standing date for lunch because it is a time when we can share the struggles as well as the highs and be a support for one another. When I visit members of First who are no longer able to come to church, I am often asked whether we are still doing the spaghetti dinners and the ham dinners. I get asked about fellowship breakfast and pub night. And many of us know how it didn't quite feel the same to come to worship on Sunday and not share a coffee hour afterwards. There are connections that are made when you sit around a table with comforting food and drink, and these just don't always happen in the same way anywhere else. Jesus, in all his humanity, recognized this, and not only made it part of how he did ministry, but also how he sent others out and how he sends us out. This week and last week, the gospel lessons had focused on what it is to be a follower of Christ. In these texts, we are pointed toward living lives devoted to Christ, focused on God, while providing hospitality and sharing the news that the kingdom of God has come near. But this proclamation really only makes sense or is really only deep when we see the burdens that others carry and do what we can to bear those burdens with them. And even more, when we do what we can to alleviate the burdens where we have the voice and the power to do so. So go forth in the name of Christ, proclaiming the good news over meals, over coffee, or anywhere the opportunity arises. Amen.